Amen. This evening I want to look at this passage before us in Matthew 15, verses 21 to 28. Here we have a story with perhaps, with which you may perhaps be familiar to some of you, possibly less so to others. Here is one of the many interactions that the Lord Jesus Christ had during his life and ministry as he walked the earth in the flesh. In this narrative, we find a woman, a Canaanite. Mark chapter 7, as we read earlier, tells us that she was Syrophoenician by nation, seeking the Lord Jesus' attention, and ultimately she hoped his help. She has a daughter who is, as we read here in Matthew 15, grievously vexed with a devil. And this is what she seeks Christ's help with. Calling to him, she received only silence in reply, and even after his disciples asked Christ to give her what she wanted so that she would leave, he objects. And again she comes, worshipping, asking for his help, and yet he replies with seeming harshness, comparing her to a dog. Yet she still persists. She humbles herself. The Lord Jesus turns then in mercy and honouring her, and giving to her what she required, and her daughter was made whole from that very hour. And this particular interaction is interesting in that it is quite a stark conversation, and it seems out of character for the Lord Jesus to reply in the way that he does. And so I want to consider this evening from this passage how to seek mercy. Contrite heart. How to seek for mercy. As we look at this passage first, I want to consider it under four headings, and we'll do so briefly. They are, first, her standing. Second, her supplication. Third, her setbacks. And fourthly, her self-abasement. Her standing, her supplication, her setbacks, and her self-abasement. So first of all then, let us consider her standing. She was a Canaanite, and thus a woman despised. Mark chapter 7, as I mentioned, tells us that she was a Syrophoenician woman. She was from Syrophoenicia. And as such, she would have been despised in Israel. Well, there was, it seems especially at that time, a very low view taken of any who were not of Israel and were not Jewish. An attitude which prevailed from the time that the captivity returned to Israel, and it was mixed then with the nations around about. It's interesting that in verse 22 we see her described as a woman of Canaan, because the word Canaan appears only once in the New Testament, and that is here. Canaanite is used only twice in the New Testament. And so there is an old-fashioned ring to it. And it's perhaps for this reason that it is used here, to identify this woman with the Canaanites, the people who were the ancient enemies of Israel, the Jews. To identify her with those pagan tribes who had opposed Israel in ancient times. And so she is identified then with the Canaanites. She is a woman of Canaan. As we will see, her standing in this sense was significant. And secondly, we see her supplication. We find that this woman comes and cried unto him. And the word cried there is in the imperfect tense. And that indicates that it was a continual crying out. Not merely a perfunctory cry and no more, but it was a continual crying out. And the words that she cries out are informative also. She cries, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. And this first of all indicates that the woman had some idea of who Christ was. O Lord, thou son of David. She has an understanding of who he was, or who many believed him to be. Thou son of David identifies Christ as the Jewish Messiah, the one who was to come of David's line for the salvation of his people Israel. Whether she believed this herself is not known. Perhaps she had merely heard a rumor, or had heard others refer to him in such a way, but it would seem from her words later on that she has a good awareness of the significance of Christ's office as the Jewish Messiah. O thou son of David, heir of David, the one who was to come. She is aware of this, it seems. It seems at least that she knew of his power, for she especially mentions the plight of her daughter. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil, she cries. Her request then is understood. She seeks that the Lord Jesus would show mercy and grace in saving her from this plight. The word grievously could be translated as severely or even as fiercely. She is fiercely or severely afflicted, vexed with the devil. And so the condition of her daughter then is desperate, and it is in desperation and it is in fervent desire that she seeks the Lord Jesus and his help. Let me see here her setbacks. This woman deals then with a number of what we might perceive and would call setbacks, or obstacles to that which she sought. And they come as follows. First of all, Christ's silence. He seemingly ignores her. He answered her not a word. We see in verse 23. To be ignored is one of the worst things to experience. But to cry out in desperation and in fervency continually for help and to be met only with utter silence is indeed something we would not like to suffer ourselves. Perhaps she thought at first that he'd not heard her, so she continues to cry out. Remember that the word signifies a continual, constant crying out. And she's met with silence. We read then that the disciples, they come to Christ and they ask him to send her away. That is, to give her what she asked. Not that they were concerned with her, or concerned for her, but their reasons were for peace and quiet. Or perhaps that not such a scene should be made, for she crieth after us, they say. She continued to cry despite the silence she was met with. Then secondly, we see Christ's objection. Again, a setback for her. The disciples request on her behalf that the Lord Jesus Christ should meet her needs as she would go. But the disciples' request on her behalf are met with Christ's objection. If you read in verse 24, he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. This woman is a Canaanite. She is from Syrophoenicia. She is a Gentile. I am not sent to the Gentiles. I am sent to the Jews. And hearing that, it would perhaps be understandable she was put off and fully discouraged. She could easily have thought, he has helped others, but he will not help me. She could have gone away at that point thoroughly dejected and in discouragement. But yet this woman is not put off, for we read in verse 25, then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. She comes then in humility before him, crying out, help me. And again, she meets with a setback in the form of Christ's refusal. He speaks to her directly. It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. These words seem inordinately harsh. But the Lord Jesus would, as it seemed, refuse to help, saying that doing so would be comparable to taking the bread from the hands of his children and casting it to the dogs. His children should not have enough till the dogs might be fed. That is what he is saying. She is compared then to a dog. Surely at this she would bristle. She would respond with indignance, with pride, with anger. To call someone a dog in the Jewish culture, and she would understand this, was to insult someone greatly. Dogs were considered by the Jews as dirty animals. In the Old Testament, they are used again and again to describe uncleanness, to describe pollution. The dog has turned unto his vomit again, the prophet says. Ahab, who had sinned, was prophesied to die because of his sin, and it was said that the dogs would lick the blood from off the ground. Indeed, in Revelation it says, for without are dogs. There was no place for them. This was a picture in that culture of uncleanness. And so these words of Christ are indeed a setback. They are an obstacle for this woman as she seeks the mercy and grace of the Lord Jesus. She comes to him and she worships him and says, Lord, help me. And the Lord Jesus looks at her and says, it is not meet. Take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And this brings us to consider lastly her self-abasement. In our emotional and feelings-led culture, we might expect a reaction of rage and of offense. It seems to be the common reaction to much in these days. There is always, it seems, someone who is offended about something. Sometimes with good reason, but oftentimes without good reason. But yet here she, rather than reacting in pride and in indignance, presses on rather with faith. Her response to this statement of Christ is mild acceptance. This woman accepts the fact that it is true. The Messiah was prophesied to come for Israel. He was the Jewish Messiah. It was Israel that had received the oracles of God, had received the law of God, had received the promises of the Messiah that was to come and save them. And she knows that she herself has no right to this benefit. She considers herself as having no right to sit at the table, so to speak. Thus, with a contrite heart, she is willing to accept that in this picture that the Lord Jesus has used, she is indeed comparable to a dog sitting beneath the table. Truth, Lord. Truth, she says. Here is the key then. Let God be true, and every man a liar. Truth, Lord. Yes. All that Christ speaks is true, and she knows it to be so. Yet in that truth that Jesus speaks is a drop of mercy and of favour, which she then embraces. For she then continues, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table, seizing on to hope yet still. She sees that even the dogs which she accepts she is comparable to, that even they receive favour from their masters. Having replied then, she receives the approbation of the Lord Jesus Christ for her great faith. Oh, woman, that is, that word oh there means that the words in the original are in the vocative. That means it's an exclamation. Oh, woman, great is thy faith. Great is thy faith. Be it unto thee, even as thou wilt. So the Lord Jesus, having tried her faith, having exercised it, having increased it himself, accepts her petition, be it unto thee, even as thou wilt. And that same hour, her daughter was made whole by the impulse of his will, at her request and acceptance of her faith. He causes it to be that her daughter be made whole. The devil is gone out of her. As it says in Mark. And so, quite simply then, in closing, let us look at how we may apply these things to ourselves this evening. There is application here, first of all, for our understanding. Let us understand that the sinner is not worthy of the least of the mercies of Christ, let alone the benefits which he has purchased for his own people. There is nothing in man, naturally, deserving of grace. Here is what this woman recognized and realized, that she was not worthy of Christ's mercies. That all she had to cling on to was the hope of a dog that sits beneath the table. Let God be true and every man a liar. If you are outside of Christ this evening, you are not worthy even of the least of the mercies of God. But those things for which Christ has died, the benefits and the blessings that he's purchased for those who believe in him, they cannot be yours if you have not believed on him. Recognize this tonight, that without faith there is no blessing that you can obtain. You have no right to them. Then secondly, understand also that the Lord Jesus Christ prizes faith in him above all things. That is evident even from the very beginning. That you should press on in seeking him and his mercy, for he has promised that he shall not cast out any who come to him. Yes, you are unworthy of his mercies, yet he prizes faith. As seen here in this passage, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. It's evident from the very beginning that the Lord desires that you should believe in him. That he gives one word of command in the very beginning. That his word should be trusted. It should be believed. You may not eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he he called to Adam. But Adam questioned the word of God, believed the devil, "Thou shalt not surely die," because of his lack of faith, because he did not believe the word of God, because he made God a liar. He fell. It is evident then, the Lord desires that you believe in him, that you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And thirdly, understand this also, that the Lord will humble first the one who he intends to honour, that they should recognise his grace for what it is. How harsh did the words of Christ seem to that woman? That he should compare her to a dog. "Shall I take the bread from the children and cast it to the dogs? That is what I will be doing if I answer your request," essentially is what he said to her. But again, I must say, strenuously and without compromise, let God be true and every man a liar. It is not out of insult that he says this, but from the fact that he is true and he speaks truth. The Lord will always humble those who he intends to honour. Such was the case here. He brought this woman low, that when she was abased, when she saw and recognised what she was, she could then be lifted up. There is no place for pride. There is no place for self-exaltation before the God of heaven. He raises up the poor out of the dust and the beggar from the dunghill to set them with princes. He will humble first. Have you been humbled? Have you seen yourself for what you are in all your sin and in all your need of him? You will not be raised until you are first abased. This is how the Lord shows to us that his grace indeed is grace. And this we must understand. Then fourthly, we must understand also that Christ often excites faith in us, exercises faith in us by inflicting great trials upon us. And as such, these are for our benefit. They are for our improvement. There were many setbacks for this woman, yet they resulted in her being lifted up by Christ. "O woman, great is thy faith," honoured by Christ, that he should say of her, "Great is thy faith." Yet she was inflicted with these obstacles, these trials. On a number of occasions, we might have expected her to turn back, perhaps in sadness or in anger, with indignance, with pride. Yet she persisted in faith and she received her reward. We must learn this, even as Christians, and perhaps especially so. For the Lord will work in his own people in such a way to work upon us and in us to improve and so to sanctify us. He will afflict us with trials. There is then application for our understanding. There is application here also for our admonition. First of all, the Christian this evening, do not be lethargic in seeking the grace of Christ or in seeking to grow in that grace, but press on actively that you might be sanctified. Do you have a spirit of lethargy? Do you have a spirit perhaps of apathy for your own growth in grace? Perhaps in facing even one obstacle, you immediately give in and go back. Perhaps you come to try and pray, but the first interruption or distraction, you turn aside and that is it. Or perhaps you let the least thing come between you and your attendance at the prayer meeting. If the usual mode of transport, perhaps, is not there, that will be it. Christians should seek spiritual improvement. We should seek growth in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But so often we are put off by the smallest obstacle. How can you expect to grow in grace? How can you expect to see your prayers answered if you're apathetic or lazy in your Christian walk? Let it not be so this evening. But there is admonition here also to one who is outside of Christ perhaps this evening. And that is this, that your pride and your self-approval are not only misplaced, but they are an obstacle and a hindrance to your receiving of grace. God will not give grace, will not give favour to those who believe they are already fine. Do not let a misplaced idea of what you are stop you from coming in humility before God. The Lord hates a proud look. Isaiah 66 tells us, "Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made. And all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word." Pride, self-approval mean nothing in the face of reality. And again, I say, let God be true, every man a liar. The Lord speaks mere facts. There is nothing in you that deserves God's favour, no matter how you might deceive yourself tonight. Pride and arrogance are a hindrance to your receiving of grace. And if the Lord should compare you to a dog that sits beneath the table, and that should bring about the reaction of arrogance, bristling pride, they are a hindrance to your receiving his grace in the end. There's application here also for our direction. Direction tonight. First of all, seek to put trials to good use. Since the Lord Jesus often uses them in our lives and we experience delays and answers to prayer, we're perhaps met with his silence, we have difficulties and we have problems that we must overcome. All these things come that we might be improved upon. We must let them drive us to worship him. They must be an impetus and a stimulus in our Christian lives to seek him all the more, that we might, as this woman did, receive the reward of our perseverance in the faith. Let us seek to put then those trials, those obstacles, to good use. Let us move past them, that we grow in grace and in knowledge and in the love and appreciation of our Lord Jesus Christ. But then also in direction, in praying for the lost and for our loved ones, we must pray that the Lord should break their proud hearts, that they might with humility and self-abasement understand that they are naturally sinners and come in repentance to God. Here in this passage we observe that it was the humility, it was the self-abasement of this woman, accepting it. Truth, Lord, it is true. Seeing in his words that drop of mercy that he has left there for her. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. This was what won for her the salvation of her daughter from that plight that she was in. Because she came not in pride, but in humility. The Lord was merciful to her. Because she understood that she was not worthy of the least of Christ's mercies, she received that very mercy. And so this evening, when you pray for your friends, when you pray for your family and your loved ones, even perhaps those that are here tonight that you know are outside of Christ, pray that God would so deal with them that they might come as this woman did in a humbleness and in repentance of heart, recognizing that they are a poor supplicant needing mercy and grace from God. Pride must be beaten down for this to happen. It rises up even at the mention of such words as poor supplicant and of contrite heart. The pride of life is a snare from which the lost must escape, and only the Lord can provide that escape. Let us pray with that in mind then as we pray for the lost. That as they should hear the gospel, they would be beaten down from their pride to a place of humility, brought down if it be need be to the dust. The Lord should raise them up and set them with princes. But then lastly, there is application here for our warning. Since you have no right, naturally, as you're outside of Christ, to the blessings and benefits of Christ's church, you must press with faith that he should bestow them on you in grace. If you're outside of Christ this evening, then you're outside of the benefits that he's promised to his people. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. But if God is not your Lord this evening, the Lord is not your God, If you're not one of the people of God, if you have not rested in Christ for salvation, then you have no right to those things which he has promised to his people. Being merely in the congregation here tonight, holding a Bible, reading it, listening, singing the hymns, none of this gives you a right to the blessings and the promises of God, because they are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. If you're not in him, you have no access to them. You must be in Christ to benefit from him. Therefore, press on in seeking him in faith. If, as the word of God says, if haply you might feel after him and find him, for he be not far from every one of us. Do not let yourself be turned out of the way, but continue on in seeking for his mercy. Perhaps you have felt conviction of sin before, convinced of your need of him, but yet have not grasped the simplicity of the gospel, that you must believe only. Look and live. Fall down at his feet. Say, Lord, help me. That is what this woman did. She came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. And so, therefore, repent and seek him with all your earnestness and your fervour, that he might have mercy. Your pride will avail you nothing in the day of judgment, for on that day you will be brought low regardless of your current ideas of yourself. There will come a day when your pride will finally be broken down, but then it will be too late for you to abase yourself, for you will be abased by him, for every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. May it be that you do so this evening, now that you come and worship him, and seek with persistence his mercy and grace in your life, as this woman did. Truth, Lord, but even the dogs may eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. May the Lord grant faith and repentance. May he have mercy upon your soul this evening, with the simple word that might be impressed upon you for Jesus' sake. Amen.